The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, it's going to be a short one today, so let's just dive right in.
That's what she said.
That's what she always says. It's a Tuesday on The Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, R-E-A-L, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Tuesday. Usually you guys are in a bad mood. Don't be, because it's a short show for us. We get to be in a bad mood when we leave because we'll be stuck in traffic and we won't have us to listen to.
That's right.
We'll have Aggie basketball to listen to.
Yeah.
So, what's happening, Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you?
The same. Just trying to get through the day, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, trying to adjust all
this. Are you going to get through the day, though?
I don't know. I really don't
know. That's the
question. Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
We'll see. We'll see. I this is my first day where I've had to take, like, oh, right. There you go. 401. Is that a record? No, it's not even 401.
And I got to be honest, that was weak compared to the one that I let go about a minute before showtime.
Yeah. This is my first day of taking all these goofball medications, so I feel really weird today.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to have like an episode?
I don't know. Am I
going to take your shirt off and start puking on the windows and
no,
stuff?
No, but you know, if I start going into some kind of seizure or something, that would be kind of good for ratings, wouldn't it?
When Fred had his stroke on air, did that help or hurt ratings?
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
No, I don't remember.
That was years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you should keep track of these, John.
Fred being alive has helped ratings.
Well, that's good. Yeah. But I would imagine a near death would probably give a bump.
Yeah, I'm willing to die on air at some point. It just kind of goes without saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to help the team.
That is dedication.
Well, if I'm going to die, if we must die, let it be here.
That's right.
I mean, I'd be okay with that. You know, you're going to die at some point. It might as well be something spectacular where you just start going.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you're gone. But no, we'll have basketball on today. Any plays for the people, sir?
I have a few. I'm on Nebraska -3. I am on Aggie -6.5. I am on Arkansas -5.5. And I'm on Butler -5.5.
Nice. It's a pretty nice card there.
Yeah, it's a good night. It's going to be a good night, Fred.
I've got Toronto -150.
All right.
So that's my, I took that and parlayed it with your Nebraska play.
Okay.
So I'm already in on that. So hopefully we'll do right by the people. I'm feeling a good night coming from you.
I need one. I'm due.
Ah, you'll be fine. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And I got like, did you see that the fans who heckled at the Blackhawk game got banned?
Good.
I'm good with that. I really think that, and it's funny because the guy that they were yelling at, Devontae Smith-Pelly, if you didn't see the story, basically, Devontae Smith-Pelly is a black hockey player, was in the penalty box, and four fans were ejected because they were chanting basketball at him. And he said, it's pretty obvious what that means. It's not really a secret. It's just one word. I mean, that's all it takes. Whether it's that word or any other word, we got the idea, or I got the idea, and I'm sure they got the idea too. Yeah, he went after, because he kind of went after him and started yelling at him.
You want the rest of his comments?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't even really know. It's sad. I mean, that 2018, we're still talking about the same thing over and over. It's sad that, you know, athletes like myself 30, 40 years ago, we were standing in the same spot saying the same thing. You'd think there'd be some sort of change or progression, but we're still working towards it, I guess, and we're going to keep working towards it.
We'll take one more, guys.
The comment about basketball, I mean, have you heard that before in your career? I think I'd read something about
it. Yeah, it happened one other time and when I was younger and Penticton. And I had the same reaction back then, but I didn't really tell anyone about it. I guess I kind of just did it and kind of just brushed it off. But we're at a time now where, you know, we can't brush it under the rug. It's, you got to start calling people out and making sure people see other people's true colors. So that's what I'm, I guess, trying to get the conversation started and show whoever these people were their true colors.
I'm glad he did something.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's just, it's silly, and I'm sure.
And for some reason, I feel like hockey, racism is kind of just brushed under the rug. Like, can you imagine at a baseball game if there was a black dude batting and they were chanting out racist stuff at him?
Well, that happened at Fenway Park.
It's been a while now.
Well, no, it was like last year or the year before.
Was it?
Yeah, it was fairly recently they had that. I don't remember the exact thing, but there was crap going on there.
I am shocked that happened in Boston.
Shocked.
That's like
alcohol and stupidity.
I would have never expected that.
Alcohol and stupidity, you're going to get stuff like this. It's a shame, and I'm sure that he's dealt with it a lot. That's not exactly there's very few black athletes in hockey, and I'm sure, and they've all dealt with something. And I know PK Subban's talked about that before, and he's got such he's such a likable dude. I can't imagine anybody. Well, I guess it doesn't matter if you're just being racist. You're being racist, but I'm glad they got called out. I'm glad that they're not going to be going again. And I hate that anybody has to deal with that in this day and age. I agree with him 100%. It's just silly. So, soccer fans are bad like that. I mean, it's all over the world, too. It's not just here.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, man... We didn't get to talk too much about this yesterday. We did a little bit when we talked about UH winning, but are they basically in now?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought.
I mean, it could be crazy. They could lose their last four games and then somehow
they got East Carolina on the schedule.
Losing the first game of the tournament.
They're not losing that.
It's not going to happen.
So, yeah. But that's pretty damn good job by Kelvin Sampson. I'm glad to see him get that thing turned around because it's been a long time since they've gone. And he's done a good job, man. He really has. And I hope people start going to the games. I know it's, you know, that TSU campus is nice. Have you been on that campus?
No.
It's really nice. I bike through there all the time because there's a trail that goes behind it. And I've been there for a couple of, I was there Super Bowl week for a couple of things that we did. And their health and PE center is pretty nice considering, you know, that level of play. So get on out there and watch a damn game, folks. Why you still have a chance.
Yeah.
So, Yardbarker put together who's going to be the top 10 pitchers in baseball this year. I want to play the game where you tell me too high or too low.
Okay.
At number 10, Carlos Carrasco, Indians.
Oh, I love that dude. If he could stay healthy, I'll say too low.
Okay, I'm kind of with you. Zach Greinke.
Too high.
Yeah.
He's a roller coaster ride. When he's on, but I'm going to go.
He's not consistent anymore.
I'm going to go too high.
Number 8, Madison Bumgarner.
Is he going to be riding a dirt bike in the offseason?
Well, I guess I'm going to go with no dirt bikes.
that's probably about right. He's got better upside than that. The team's not very good. But I don't know how much time he's got left on his deal, but I would imagine he's getting to that point where he wants to like kind of zone in and make himself some big money in a year or two.
Yeah.
But I think 8's about fair.
Number 7, Justin Verlander, your Houston Astros.
I hate to say this, but he's much like Zach Greinke. He's a roller coaster ride. Now he's on a good team. I think that should help. I'll say that's about right.
Okay.
I think 7 is fair.
Number 6, Steven Strasburg, Nationals.
Again, that's another, he's like Carrasco. If he's healthy, that guy could easily be number 1.
Yeah.
And but he's it's a crapshoot whether or not he's going to be healthy. I'm going to go a little bit too low.
Number 5, Jake Arrieta.
Too high.
Yeah, I agree.
Slam dunk too high.
I don't think he should be in the top 10.
No.
Number 4, Chris Sale.
I think I have to say just right because I know who the last three guys you're going to say are.
Yeah.
And I can't argue Chris Sale over any of the three of them.
So give me the three in your order.
In my order, I would say number 3 would be Kershaw. 2 would be Corey Kluber. 1 would be Max Scherzer.
Very, very close. Kluber 3, Kershaw 2.
Damn it.
And Scherzer number 1.
I the only concern with Kershaw is health, obviously. And if he's healthy, he's as good as anybody. But yeah, it's a strong list. There's a lot of really good pitching in the league right now. That whole list is like, man, that's good stuff.
Do you want to hear the last 4 out?
Sure. I could probably guess some of them.
Go ahead.
I bet Dallas Keuchel's on
that
list.
Dallas Keuchel was first on the list.
And I would bet that Jacob deGrom is somewhere on that list.
He is on that list. You got 2 of the 4 so far.
I don't know who else I would put on the list.
Severino and Noah Syndergaard.
Okay.
Well, those guys, that's fair. All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. What about that Dodgers-Astros series? That was racist. Yeah, well, Yuli, yeah. Somebody says Red Sox fan was talking racist bleep to Adam Jones from the Orioles.
Oh, okay, that's who it was.
So, yeah, and that was fairly recent. So, it's common in every sport, unfortunately. Casino Jay wants to know, what are your thoughts on Matt Harvey being a sleeper top 10 pitcher or maybe comeback player of the year?
Oof. Man, honestly, a lot of it goes into, if you said right now, like, what's Matt Harvey going to do? My guess is Matt Harvey's going to be in the bullpen. So that would be tough. Because they, with them signing Jason Vargas, they didn't sign Jason Vargas to be a relief pitcher. They wanted a lefty in the rotation or a second lefty behind Steven Matz. So DeGrom, Syndergaard, Matz, and now Jason Vargas, you've got Harvey, you've got Zach Wheeler, and I don't know. I think they're probably going to want to be careful with Harvey. I think that they may limit his innings, so I would say that'd be tough to imagine.
The Texans officially released Cushing today. Did you see the comments from Cal McNair? I mean, about what a great dude he is.
Yeah,
jeez.
Did we remember when he said all that stuff about Duane Brown?
Yeah, I don't.
I wonder why.
So this is from Vice Chairman and Chief Operating Officer Cal McNair. Brian Cushing has meant a great deal to the McNair family, and few players have meant more to the Texans franchise over the course of the last 9 seasons. His work ethic, toughness, and leadership, not only as a member of the team but in the Houston community, is to be commended. Especially his dedication to the military and their families. Brian will always be part of the Texans family.
Cheater.
Yeah, something about that work ethic in there. Just like, yeah,
work ethic.
Overtraining, right?
Cheater. You remember when Duane Brown got suspended, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You remember when they were going to suspend him, and then his appeal was won.
Didn't he get a 4-game early in his career?
Mm-mm. No.
I thought he did.
I don't believe so.
I think
so.
This was the second time. Yeah, it was. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because this would have been a 10-game suspension.
Yeah, he got a 4-game right. early in
you're
his
right.
career.
Okay.
But it was, I want to say it was Adderall or something like that. It wasn't
ever steroids.
Well, who knows? But, yeah.
Yeah, in 2010, he got suspended.
Okay.
For violating the NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay.
You sit corrected, sir.
I do sit corrected.
But I know.
I just don't understand the difference. I don't understand why Dwayne Brown is persona non grata with the Texans. And, I mean, the reality is Dwayne Brown was a better player for the Texans than Brian Cushing was. Over the course of his career, the same course of time. I mean, they both played 9 years with the Texans.
Yeah.
Dwayne Brown was a better player for the Texans than Brian Cushing was.
Well, if I were them, I would have kept him because, man, that offensive line is an absolute wreck right now. I mean, that's a mess, and there's not Dwayne Brown's out there that you can get in free agency. I mean,
no. The
best you'll be able to do is Nate Solder, and the one thing I'd say about that, how often do you see guys leave the Patriots and get better? Or even come close to where they were?
Jim Garoppolo.
Okay. There's one.
That's my only example.
I mean, Richard Seymour was still pretty good when he left. But, yeah. And it's that's a guy I would go after, and I'd overpay for him because you're going to have to overpay because I think he'll be the best guy available. But that doesn't mean you're going to be better. And they've got so many other holes to fill on that line. I was reading an ESPN article that suggested that maybe they should shop Whitney Merciless around. I'll go back to what I said. I'd trade Clowney before I pay him.
No, I think that guy's a special player. But I'm not looking to trade Merciless either.
No.
I think that's that pass rush, if healthy, is your strength.
Well, and that's your insurance against JJ, too.
Yes.
Because I think if you... And
you've got to have that now.
If you've got Clowney and Merciless, I think you're pretty good.
You're okay.
I think you're pretty good.
If you have a healthy JJ and both those guys, you're great. If you trade off Merciless or Clowney and JJ's hurt, you've got one guy out there who's going to be getting double-teamed all the time, and you probably don't have much.
And that's what we saw this year, frankly.
Yeah.
So... 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. It's just, I mean, what do you have for capital that you could actually move to fix this offensive line? You don't have anything.
And that's
the thing. And I'm not going to fault them for going out and getting Deshaun Watson. But, that offensive line is a mess. And I don't know if you're going to – I don't know if there's any way – I mean, it can't be any worse than it was last year, I don't think.
Well, there's only 32 teams in the league, and they had the 32nd ranked defense, so I don't think it can.
No, I'm talking about offensive line, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, their defense certainly can't.
Their offensive line, that would also be very, very difficult to get worse at.
Yeah. But I don't know. And this is obviously where Brian Gain's going to earn his money. Is coming up with a way to somehow rebuild this thing in a year to where it's functional. And you don't need a great offensive line if you've got a healthy Watson.
But you kind of do need a good offensive line to keep Watson healthy.
Yeah, that's true. And frankly, to be able to run the football.
Yeah, that's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. And as good as Watson looked last year, I can't imagine that you're going to get, like next year is going to be 16 games of what we saw through those six games. Typically, when a rookie quarterback comes out and has a monster season, their second season is a little tougher because there's film on him. Ask Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was great his first year. Second year, growing pains. Teams adjust to you.
And I always say that, and then it's on you to adjust. They'll pick up a route where you're comfortable and a direction that you're throwing that you're comfortable, and they'll start taking those away and making you go a different direction. And that's why you don't
panic about a quarterback after 2 years. After 3 years, you can panic. But after 2 years in the league, there's nothing you don't know yet. Because year one, they're adjusting to the league and they're getting used to things. Hell, they may even shock some people. I think Deshaun Watson, you could say, shocked some people last year with what he was able to do, just like Dak a couple years ago. Year two, the league adjusts to you. Year three, that's when you really know what a guy is. When if he comes out and is balling year three, it's like, okay, now this guy's got it.
Yeah, except you look at some of these guys and, like, do we know about Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston now?
I don't feel as comfortable about those guys as I did after year two.
Do you feel as good about David Carr or Derek Carr as you did?
No.
But now he was hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so was Mariota.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, you can't. And Derek Carr, I feel better about than those other guys. Because
a little longer track record.
Yeah. First of all, he's had an MVP caliber season, like right up there. Didn't win the MVP, but was definitely in the conversation. Those other two guys have never come close. But if you watch the Raiders this year, boy, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree did zero favors for Derek Carr all season long. I think those two, they were in there. I think they're both in the top five in drops. I mean, it was just a rough, rough season for them. I feel like he's still okay. My questions on Mariota are, I don't know if he's getting better, you know? And like I said, after year three, I don't know if
they've got the coaching staff to help him now either.
That's a concern too.
But we shall find out.
Yep. Because everything else is in place for that dude.
Yeah.
They've got a really good running game. They drafted him, I think, the best receiver in the draft last year.
Still can use another one, I think.
I think so, too.
Use another weapon there. But they've got a good tight end.
They've got some. I mean, the defense has improved.
Solid offensive line. Yeah. So, there's really no excuses for him at this stage. I think he needs, if he's healthy next year, he needs to have a big year.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to be in the, okay, is he Blake Bortles?
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what you're looking at. It's like, he can win games for you, but is he the guy who's going to be able to carry you?
Right.
And I think he can. I like him. But you're right. You're getting into a point now where it's time. But as far as Watson's concerned, I love that guy coming out of college. I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he was the best quarterback in that draft. And I don't know that.
But you wouldn't be shocked if this year was a step back from last year.
If there's a step back, yeah. But I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't improve either and cut down on the interceptions. That's really my only complaint, is he would force the ball a couple times a game when he didn't need to.
Yeah.
That's one where and that's something you learn. You take the sack. Aaron Rodgers was bad about that his first year or two. But you take the sack or you throw it away. Those are things that you learn. Some guys never figure it out, but I think he will. And I think he'll be, I think he's going to be pretty good. But we shall see. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Jerome Solomon scheduled to make an early appearance today.
Oh, boy.
Because we're out at 5:30. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King. The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I sure hope Eric was being sarcastic with his tweet. Deion Branch, Matt Cassel, Vince Wilfork. Hashtag uninformed. Matt Cassel won 11 games with the Patriots, never came close to that anywhere else. Deion Branch was never as good anywhere else. And Wilfork was a shadow of himself here. I sure hope you were trying to be funny.
He also says, no wonder Ennis has a number one show.
Does he?
Hey, Eric, don't believe everything you hear on Josh Ennis's Twitter. Jong, who had the number one sports show in the city this last book?
I have to break it down even more just because I broke it down into our day parts.
Okay.
So technically in his day part, 6 to 10, he's true. He's right.
Okay.
But within that same day part, from 7 to 9, the bench beat Josh
John and Lance.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So if he's talking about 6 to 10, yes, he was number one. But from 7 to 9, right in the middle of Josh's show, the bench beat him.
Okay.
We are the number one sports station.
Wait,
in the city.
This station?
Yes.
Huh.
Well, we barely edged out. I believe it was 7-9.
Did Josh Ennis's show? Did his ratings beat our ratings? This book?
I have to go back and check.
I can already tell you the answer.
No.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. We've already. I've already seen them. So. All right.
Let's. When's the last time we were the number one sports show in the city?
It's been. It wasn't. It didn't happen at all last year.
So 2 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been 2 years. So.
Yeah. Welcome back, Cotter.
We'll talk more about that. But first, let's get a guy who always helps rating, Jerome Solomon. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? Yeah, congratulations to me for appearing on the number one show in town. I appreciate myself pushing you guys over the top. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Yeah, I think it's my appearance on your television show that really popularized the show.
Hey, right then was right in the heart of the book, and boom, there you go.
That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah. So what on earth are you working on these days, Mr. Solomon?
I'm not working because the Olympics has shut down my show. I'm just chilling, catching up on house stuff since I haven't had a vacation in 2 years and got a bunch of junk around the house to do. So I'm just relaxing, watching bad Olympics and having fun.
Yeah. How much of the Olympics are you watching? I got to tell you, I've never been less interested in these things in my life.
Yeah. I'm watching a lot of it cause I'm an Olympics guy. So I get into it, but yeah, I call them bad Olympics. And frankly, we know if the U.S. isn't in the mix, it's really, not a big thrill for us. So, and the U.S. has been horrible. This is one of their worst performances ever thus far, and I'm not sure that that's going to change at all. But I'm still watching because I'm looking for something there. There's nothing else going on either, so it's kind of, I'm sitting around with nothing to do, so I'm watching. I know you guys were talking about the other day. Lindsey Vonn is on the slopes tonight, so that should be fun. As for as big a name as she is, she's only won one gold medal, and that was 8 years ago because she was injured 4 years ago and didn't compete. So it's a big chance for her to come back in her signature event, downhill.
I'm not all that interested in that. I'll just Google Lindsey Vonn nude. That's what I do.
I am because a few months ago she said she wouldn't go to the White House if with the team when they go to celebrate, and she got a whole bunch of, we knew you weren't worth anything when you were sleeping with that N-word. So,
Boy.
Yeah. Search her name and N-word on Twitter. It's very fascinating as they're coming out of the woodwork, as you well know.
Well, they actually have to win something for her to go, so there's that.
No, don't they usually take the whole team just goes? It's not just the gold medal winners, I think that they usually invite the team regardless. So, with this administration, who knows? Things have changed. And how much more red, white, and blue can you get than the Olympic team? It's all politics.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. So, hey, I know you follow college basketball pretty closely. The whole state's pretty good, but how about this UH team and what Kelvin Sampson's done?
As I said when he got the job, you're not going to get a better coach than Kelvin. The guy knows what he's doing and how to get it done. He has these guys playing at a really high level. It's been so, so long since U of H has had a legitimate basketball team. I keep getting on Duarte because he keeps writing, they're trying to get back to the tournament for the first time since 2010. This is the first time they've gotten in with an at-large bid in who knows how long. And that's the real measure. Getting lucky and winning those four in a row under Pender, that doesn't really count. And they got smoked in, too. But I frankly didn't even realize and couldn't believe that they hadn't been ranked in both of the polls since 84, since Olajuwon was on campus. That's amazing. But Kelvin has done it. I was going to say the right way, but
he's
done it. He's done it a good way because it's working.
He hasn't gotten caught if he's not doing it the right way. So, hey. So
that makes it the right way if you haven't got caught. The wrong way is when you get caught. So he said, this is what he wanted to do and this is what he envisioned. And if this season plays out like it really looks like it has, and I know EJ was saying, and this team could win a couple of games in the tournament. I'd love for them to make a run. Imagine how much better they'll be the next year, the 2 years after that, when they, try to get the payoff from this run. So I'm as excited for U of H as I've been for the basketball squad in a long, long time.
And they're going to get a new arena. I mean, right? That's the other thing that's kind of amazing about this is they're doing this playing over at TSU.
Yeah, that's probably not hurting. Well, not probably not even hurting. That's not hurting at all. It's the crowd is closer to the court. They're pumped up when they're there. They're playing exciting basketball. They're firing up a lot of threes. They get after it on defense, and I don't know what it is. There's a different flavor with them playing on the yard at TSU versus in Hawthorne's, which been pretty stale over the years. And so that's people are going. They're good enough now that people are going to see them play, not going only when they're playing somebody and they're going to see the other team. So it should be fun. You don't want it to be one of those, they had a good season and got smoked in the first round. You want them to capitalize on it and make a run. So it's nowhere near over as yet. But, on another note, did you see the nice little headline we had in the paper the other day? It would make your boy Neil Farmer proud. It was Rice Steel anticipating postseason run. They're 5-21 or something. Really? All they have to do is win like the next six games, and they'll get into the conference tournament. But the season's not over. You got to give them some love. They still believe. Keep hope alive.
Yeah, there's always that. So yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier about your Texans and how much can they realistically do? I know they've got plenty of cap room, but what can they realistically do on the offensive line? Because that thing is such a mess. And I was also kind of wanting to get your thoughts on what Cal McNair said about Brian Cushing today and what a wonderful human being he is.
I'll start with the first one. I mean, it's the NFL. So if you have good coaching, good scouting, and your owner opens up the checkbook, you ought to be able to go out and get good players at a position of need. I mean, it's as simple as that. There aren't 32 teams out there trying to get offensive linemen. The Minnesota Vikings said last year their offensive line wasn't good. They went out last offseason and signed, two or three guys, brought them in, and what happened? They made a run, the offensive line looked a whole lot better. And that's what you do. So, they should be. I don't know who they are. That's not my job to tell you which lineman is going to be the best. But they should be able to come back after free agency and say, we landed these two guys who are going to instantly walk in as starters because their offensive line is that bad that whoever they get should be an instant starter. Whether they're really good or not is based on how smart they handle their money. So, no, they better improve. I mean, my goodness. And Deshaun Watson will make them look better on top of it. So, but they can't do what they did last year and do nothing. That would just be dumb. As far as Cushing being a great guy, the McNair's been riding that train since they bought into the, overtrained athlete thing. So he's not a bad person, and unless you consider anybody who uses performance enhancing drugs as a bad person. Otherwise, no, he's a good dude. It's a matter of personal choice.
Can you think of a reason why the Texans would be so much nicer to Brian Cushing than Dwayne Brown? Is there anything different about those two guys that jumps out at you?
I don't know. I look at him and I don't know. One's a little bigger.
That's true.
He's a little bigger and a little short afro versus the other one. I don't know. I mean, what? East Coast versus West Coast. Well, actually, Cushing from the East Coast, too.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I really can't put a finger on it. But, maybe it's the Brown,
The last
the name. The name, I'm saying.
Right.
If his name was White, it might be a little different. What do you think?
Yeah.
That's so unfair. But I do know this. Dwayne Brown is not a scared young man. He's never been that, and he's always been not hesitant about speaking his mind. He's not a troublemaker. He's not a guy out there trying to cause an issue. He's a great teammate. He stands up for his teammates. He keeps people in line. He was great in that locker room. He was better in that locker room than Brian Cushing was throughout his career. He's a much better Houston Texan through his career than Brian Cushing was. He was always there when he wasn't hurt, 100% on the field, giving everything that he has for this organization. And for them to turn on him the way that they did and not stand up for him the way they stood up for lying, cheating, steroid using Brian Cushing is a disgrace.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You won't be seeing him on TV, at least until the Olympics are over. But, Jerome, we appreciate the time, sir, and thanks for bumping the ratings for us.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. All right, fellas.
Later. All right, quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And David Gow just told you all about SportsMap. But you can also follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Lots of good stuff on there today. Patrick Creighton has four Astros who could have a Marwin Gonzalez-type year in 2018. Kind of under the radar, guys. Jermaine Every wrote, Adam Silver is the best commissioner in pro sports. One day after I wrote that Gary Bettman was the worst. So I tend to agree. Raheel has some off-the-wall ideas to save NBA All-Star Weekend. And we have AJ's College Hoops recap is up.
It showed up a little bit late.
Yeah, I got it up last night. Yeah. But and then Barry's still got his video on there. And there's all kinds of good stuff. Just go check it out, sportsmap.com. Just one last thing on the ratings. Just I don't really ever pay too much attention to them because I don't think it's a fair indicator of how many listeners we have. I know our podcast hit 1 million downloads, so yeah. I feel pretty good about that. But it's you know, the way the system is, but that's how you keep score, so it's nice when you win. That's all. And I needed some good news this week, damn it. So it's not been a good week. Bryce says Carson Wentz was a flip-flop, bad rookie year, stud in his second year. Well, he didn't really have a bad rookie year. He showed some signs, but
Jared Goff too.
Yeah, Jared Goff did have a bad rookie year.
Jared Goff went from bad to good, but again, let's see what they do year three.
Yeah,
Jared Goff was also those air raid guys. That's why I don't believe in them for the most part, and I wouldn't be shocked if Jared Goff is a wreck next year, because I believe that background is so difficult to come from, because no one's had long term success coming from it.
Right.
Which is why it's such a stonesy move that the Chiefs moved on from Alex Smith and are just handing the keys to Patrick Mahomes. But if it works, hey, good for them.
Yeah.
Well, but that's a. I wouldn't be shocked if there's a pretty big drop off from
Goff.
Jared Goff this year.
All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day a little early here.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Somebody sent me this one earlier. The headline kind of says it all. Ohio pastor and wife arrested after robbing Sunday school teacher at gunpoint. I'm pretty sure. I don't know what commandment that one violates necessarily, but I'm pretty sure Jesus was against that.
I think so.
A Toledo pastor and his family beat up a Sunday school teacher and robbed her at gunpoint.
That's not good.
Anthony Morris, pastor of St. Paul's AME Zion Church, and his wife Zelda have been arrested and charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. Police are still looking for their 19-year-old daughter, Kamali. The pastor, his wife, and their daughter stormed into Nakima Turner's Sunday school class at their church, which is located in downtown Toledo. Kamali reportedly grabbed Turner by the hair while her mother started punching her.
Oh, boy.
Anthony shoved the woman to the ground while Zelda took Turner's purse and dumped out the contents. They threw the iPhone against the wall and cracked the screen, two bottles of prescription medication, and I think that's a taser, not a teaser, were stolen by the trio in the process. When she tried to get her items back, Anthony reportedly pulled out his gun, aimed it at her face, and allegedly threatened to kill her. Bitch, I'll kill you.
Oh.
Anthony said, according to the
statement. To a Sunday school teacher, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Family fled the scene. Authorities were called. She was treated for injuries on site. Told the police she was dodging punches thrown by Zelda when she bumped her head on a table, causing swelling above her left eye. Several eyewitnesses made reports confirming her claims to the police, which led to the apprehension of the pastor and his wife. And Zelda reportedly said, "You want to know why this happened? It happened because your mom slept with my husband."
Oh.
Why is he in on this? I don't understand. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And I thought that story was so bizarre that I had to confirm that it was actually real. And yes, it's in the Toledo newspaper. So, wow. That's a... I just don't have much to add to that.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Sure, the pastor and wife aren't named Jesse and Tulip. I can see Jesse doing it. Preacher reference. Foster says, curious what you guys thought on what Bill Polian said about Lamar Jackson.
I didn't see it.
I think Bill Polian's off his meds.
What did he say?
He's too short and slight to play quarterback in the NFL. What is he, 6'3"? Somewhere in there?
That's an odd...
Yeah, he basically said he should move to receiver.
Okay. I'm going to say no. Not too small by any means to play quarterback in the NFL.
And my concern is his passing accuracy.
I think he's too inaccurate to be a good quarterback in the NFL.
But, I mean, that's just ridiculous to say he's too short. That's dumb. Yeah, he's obviously just not paying attention. There's certain guys, Bill Polian... I mean, he still has a fairly good name, but he said something else this week too that I saw. I can't remember what it was. It was just dumb. I think he needs to get back on whatever medication he was on. That's what happens when you get old. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We've got only 30 minutes to go in today's show. So let's finish this thing strong, man.
We're doing what you would call, we're pounding it in there.
Were you referring to his Nick Foles comments?
Yeah, I think that's
called Nick Foles an icon?
Yeah.
Well, he is an icon in Philadelphia.
Big Crank Nick, that doesn't really rhyme.
No, but we all know, we get the reference, though. Mm. Big Rick Nick?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Big Richard Nick? Yeah. I want one of those t-shirts. I wish I was. If I was an Eagles fan, that's absolutely the t-shirt I would have. All right, guys. Let me tell you about Republic Harley-Davidson. I was in there just a couple weeks ago, and I demoed a 2018 Road King that was, or yeah, 2018 Road King that was just out of this world. Guy came up to me, was asking me what I was looking for in a bike, and I wasn't looking at the time, but. I said, I love these new Road Kings without the big fairing on the front. They just look awesome. I like my bike to be stripped down. I like it to be simple. I don't need a radio and all this nonsense on it, a big windshield. And so he showed me the bike that I would love. That's why I always go to Republic Harley-Davidson. There's four dealerships closer to my house than Republic Harley-Davidson. I still pass them all by to get my bike down to Republic. They've got 7 master technicians in-house to work on my bike. That's more than any other Harley dealer in Houston. They're going to get the job done right. Their inventory is out of this world. They've got about 100 brand new bikes on the showroom floor, every model and every color you could dream of, a massive pre-owned selection. And they're just friendly. They treat you right when you're in there, and they're always trying to hook you up on the right ride for you. Listen, whatever your Harley needs, service, newer pre-owned bikes, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson's got you covered. They've got financing for everyone. They'll figure out a way to get you on a bike if you want to. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, online at republichd.com. That's Republic Harley-Davidson.
I never had the courage to sign my name, then kiss my mother and board that plane. Only to lose my brothers and feel that.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.